Chapter 8. The Spread of Quidditch Worldwide. Europe. Quidditch was well established in Ireland by the 14th century, as proved by Zacharias Mumps's account of a match in 1385.
A team of warlocks from Cork flew over for a game in Lancashire, and did offend the locals by beating their heroes soundly. The Irishmen knew tricks with the quaffle that had not been seen in Lancashire before, and had to flee the village for fear of their lives when the crowd drew out their wands and gave chase.
Diverse sources show that the game had spread into other parts of Europe by the early 15th century. We know that Norway was an early convert to the game. Could Goodwin Neen's cousin Olaf have introduced the game there? Because of the verse written by the poet Ingolfr the Iambic in the early 1400s.
Oh, the thrill of the chase as I soar through the air, with the snitch up ahead and the wind in my hair. As I draw ever closer, the crowd gives a shout, but then comes a bludger and I am knocked out.
Around the same time, the French wizard Malécrit wrote the following lines in his play, Et là je me suis transfiguré les pieds. Alas, I've transfigured my feet.
Grenouille.
I cannot go with you to the market today, Crapaud.
Crapaud.
But, Grenouille, I cannot carry the cow alone.
Grenouille.
You know, Crapaud, that I am to be keeper this morning. Who will stop the quaffle if I do not?
The year 1473 saw the first ever Quidditch World Cup, though the nations represented were all European. The non-appearance of teams from more distant nations may be put down to the collapse of owls bearing letters of invitation, the reluctance of those invited to make such a long and perilous journey, or perhaps a simple preference for staying at home. The final between Transylvania and Flanders has gone down in history as the most violent of all time, and many of the fouls then recorded had never been seen before. For instance, the transfiguration of a chaser into a polecat, the attempted decapitation of a keeper with a broadsword, and the release, from under the robes of the Transylvanian captain, of 100 blood-sucking vampire bats. The World Cup has since been held every 4 years, though it was not until the 17th century that non-European teams turned up to compete. In 1652, the European Cup was established, and it has been played every 3 years since. Of the many superb European teams, perhaps the Bulgarian Vratsa Vultures is most renowned. 7 times European Cup winners, the Vratsa Vultures are undoubtedly one of the most thrilling teams in the world to watch. Pioneers of the long goal, shooting from well outside the scoring area, and always willing to give new players a chance to make a name for themselves. In France, the frequent league winners, the Quiberon Quaffle Punchers, are famed for their flamboyant play as much as for their shocking pink robes. In Germany, we find the Heidelberg Harriers, the team that the Irish captain Darren O'Hare once famously said was fiercer than a dragon and twice as clever. Luxembourg, always a strong Quidditch nation, has given us the Bigonville Bombers, celebrated for their offensive strategies and always among the top goal scorers. The Portuguese team, Braga Broomfleet, have recently broken through into the top levels of the sport with their groundbreaking beater marking system. And the Polish Grodzisk Goblins gave us arguably the world's most innovative seeker, Josef Ronski. Australia and New Zealand. Quidditch was introduced to New Zealand sometime in the 17th century, allegedly by a team of European herbologists who had gone on an expedition there to research magical plants and fungi. We are told that after a long day's toil collecting samples, these witches and wizards let off steam by playing Quidditch under the bemused gaze of the local magical community. The New Zealand Ministry of Magic has certainly spent much time and money preventing Muggles getting hold of Maori art of that period, which clearly depicts white wizards playing Quidditch. These carvings and paintings are now on display at the Ministry of Magic in Wellington. The spread of Quidditch to Australia is believed to have occurred sometime in the 18th century. Australia may be said to be an ideal Quidditch-playing territory, given the great expanses of uninhabited outback where Quidditch pitches may be established. Antipodean teams have always thrilled European crowds with their speed and showmanship. Among the best are the Mauto Hora Macaws, New Zealand, with their famous red, yellow, and blue robes and their phoenix mascot, Sparky. The Thundalara Thunderers and the Wollongong Warriors have dominated the Australian League for the best part of a century. Their enmity is legendary among the Australian magical community, so much so that a popular response to an unlikely claim or boast is, "Yeah, and I think I'll volunteer to ref the next Thunderer Warrior game." Africa. The broomstick was probably introduced to the African continent by European wizards and witches traveling there in search of information on alchemy and astronomy, subjects in which African wizards have always been particularly skilled. Though not yet as widely played as in Europe, Quidditch is becoming increasingly popular throughout the African continent. Uganda, in particular, is emerging as a keen Quidditch-playing nation. Their most notable club, the Patonga Proudsticks, held the Montrose Magpies to a draw in 1986 to the astonishment of most of the Quidditch-playing world. Six Proudstick players recently represented Uganda in the Quidditch World Cup, the highest number of flyers from a single team ever united on a national side. Other African teams of note include the Chamba Charmers, Togo, Masters of the Reverse Pass, the Gimbi Giant Slayers, Ethiopia, twice winners of the All-Africa Cup, and the Sumbawanga Sunrays, Tanzania, a highly popular team whose formation looping has delighted crowds across the world. North America. Quidditch reached the North American continent in the early 17th century, although it was slow to take hold there, owing to the great intensity of anti-wizarding feeling unfortunately exported from Europe at the same time. The great caution exercised by wizard settlers, many of whom had hoped to find less prejudice in the New World, tended to restrict the growth of the game in its early days. In later times, however, Canada has given us three of the most accomplished Quidditch teams in the world, the Moose Jaw Meteorites, the Haileybury Hammers, and the Stonewall Stormers. The Meteorites were threatened with disbandment in the 1970s, owing to their persistent practice of performing post-match victory flights over neighboring towns and villages while trailing fiery sparks from their broom tails. The team now confines this tradition to the pitch at the end of each match, and Meteorite games consequently remain a great wizarding tourist attraction. The United States has not produced as many world-class Quidditch teams as other nations because the game has had to compete with the American broom game Quadpot. A variant of Quidditch, Quadpot was invented by the 18th century wizard Abraham Peasgood, who had brought a quaffle with him from the old country and intended to recruit a Quidditch team. The story goes that Peasgood's quaffle had inadvertently come into contact with the tip of his wand in his trunk, so that when he finally took it out and began to throw it around in a casual manner, it exploded in his face. Peasgood, whose sense of humor appears to have been robust, promptly set out to recreate the effect on a series of leather balls, and soon all thought of Quidditch was forgotten as he and his friends developed a game which centered on the explosive properties of the newly renamed Quad. There are 11 players aside in the game of Quadpot. They throw the quad, or modified quaffle, from team member to team member, attempting to get it into the pot at the end of the pitch before it explodes. Any player in possession of the quad when it explodes must leave the pitch. Once the quad is safely in the pot, a small cauldron containing a solution which will prevent the quad exploding, the scorer's team is awarded a point and a new quad is brought onto the pitch. Quadpot has had some success as a minority sport in Europe, though the vast majority of wizards remain faithful to Quidditch. The rival charms of Quad Pot notwithstanding, Quidditch is gaining popularity in the United States. Two teams have recently broken through at international level. The Sweetwater All-Stars from Texas, who gained a well-deserved win over the Quiberon Quaffle Punchers in 1993 after a thrilling five-day match, and the Fitchburg Finches from Massachusetts, who have now won the U.S. League seven times, and whose seeker, Maximus Brankovich III, has captained America at the last two World Cups. South America. Quidditch is played throughout South America, though the game must compete with the popular Quad Pot here as in the North. Argentina and Brazil both reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup in the last century. Undoubtedly, the most skilled Quidditch nation in South America is Peru, which is tipped to become the first Latin World Cup winner within 10 years. Peruvian warlocks are believed to have had their first exposure to Quidditch from European wizards sent by the International Confederation to monitor the numbers of viper tooths, Peru's native dragon. Quidditch has become a veritable obsession of the wizard community there since that time, and their most famous team, the Tarapoto Tree Skimmers, recently toured Europe to great acclaim. Asia. Quidditch has never achieved great popularity in the East, as the flying broomstick is a rarity in countries where the carpet is still the preferred mode of travel. The ministries of magic in countries such as India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Iran, and Mongolia, all of whom maintain a flourishing trade in flying carpets, regard Quidditch with some suspicion, though the sport does have some fans among witches and wizards on the street. The exception to this general rule is Japan, where Quidditch has been gaining steadily in popularity over the last century. The most successful Japanese team, the Toyohashi Tengu, narrowly missed a win over Lithuania's Gorodok Gargoyles in 1994. The Japanese practice of ceremonially setting fire to their brooms in case of defeat is, however, frowned upon by the International Confederation of Wizards Quidditch Committee as being a waste of good wood. Chapter 9. The Development of the Racing Broom. Until the early 19th century, Quidditch was played on day brooms of varying quality. These brooms represented a massive advance over their medieval forerunners. The invention of the cushioning charm by Elliot Smethwick in 1820 went a long way towards making broomsticks more comfortable than ever before. See Figure F. Nevertheless, 19th century broomsticks were generally incapable of achieving high speeds, and were often difficult to control at high altitudes. Brooms tended to be hand-produced by individual broommakers, and while they are admirable from the point of view of styling and craftsmanship, their performance rarely matched up to their handsome appearance. A case in point is the Oakshaft 79, so named because the first example was created in 1879. Crafted by the broommaker Elias Grimstone of Portsmouth, the Oakshaft is a handsome broom with a very thick oaken handle, designed for endurance flying and to withstand high winds. The Oakshaft is now a highly prized vintage broom, but attempts to use it for Quidditch were never successful. Too cumbersome to turn at high speed, the Oakshaft never gained much popularity with those who prized agility over safety, though it will always be remembered as the broom used in the first-ever Atlantic broom crossing by Jocunda Sykes in 1935. Before that time, wizards preferred to take ships rather than trust broomsticks over such distances. Apparition becomes increasingly unreliable over very long distances, and only highly skilled wizards are wise to attempt it across continents. The Moon Trimmer, which was first created by Gladys Boothby in 1901, represented a leap forward in broom construction, and for a while these slender, ash-handled brooms were in great demand as Quidditch brooms. The Moon Trimmer's principal advantage over other brooms was its ability to achieve greater heights than ever before, and remain controllable at such altitudes. Gladys Boothby was unable to produce moon trimmers in the quantities Quidditch players clamored for. The production of a new broom, the Silver Arrow, was welcomed. This was the true forerunner of the racing broom, achieving much higher speeds than the moon trimmer or oak shaft, up to 70 miles an hour with a tailwind. But like these, it was the work of a single wizard, Leonard Jukes, and demand far outstripped supply. The breakthrough occurred in 1926, when the brothers Bob, Bill, and Barnaby Allerton started the Clean Sweep Broom Company. Their first model, the Clean Sweep 1, was produced in numbers never seen before, and marketed as a racing broom specifically designed for sporting use. The Clean Sweep was an instant runaway success, cornering as no broom before it, and within a year, every Quidditch team in the country was mounted on Clean Sweeps. The Allerton brothers were not left in sole possession of the racing broom market for long. In 1929, a second racing broom company was established by Randolph Keach and Basil Horton, both players for the Falmouth Falcons. The Comet Trading Company's first broom was the Comet 140, this being the number of models that Keach and Horton had tested prior to its release. The patented Horton-Keach braking charm meant that Quidditch players were much less likely to overshoot goals or fly offside, and the Comet now became the broom of preference for many British and Irish teams in consequence. While the Clean Sweep Comet competition became more intense, marked by the release of the improved Clean Sweeps 2 and 3 in 1934 and 1937 respectively, and the Comet 180 in 1938, other broomstick manufacturers were springing up all over Europe. The Tinder Blast was launched on the market in 1940. Produced by the Black Forest Company Ellerby and Spudmore, the Tinder Blast is a highly resilient broom, though it has never achieved the top speeds of the Comets and Clean Sweeps. In 1952, Ellerby and Spudmore brought out a new model, the Swift Stick. Faster than the Tinder Blast, the Swift Stick nevertheless has a tendency to lose power in ascent and has never been used by professional Quidditch teams. In 1955, Universal Brooms Limited introduced the Shooting Star, the cheapest racing broom to date. Unfortunately, after its initial burst of popularity, the Shooting Star was found to lose speed and height as it aged, and Universal Brooms went out of business in 1978. In 1967, the broom world was galvanized by the formation of the Nimbus Racing Broom Company. Nothing like the Nimbus 1000 had ever been seen before, reaching speeds of up to 100 miles per hour, capable of turning 360 degrees at a fixed point in midair. The Nimbus combined the reliability of the old Oakshaft 79 with the easy handling of the best Clean Sweeps. The Nimbus immediately became the broom preferred by professional Quidditch teams across Europe, and the subsequent models, 1001, 1500, and 1700, have kept the Nimbus Racing Broom Company at the top of the field. The Twigger 90, first produced in 1990, was intended by its manufacturers Flight and Barker to replace the Nimbus as market leader. However, though highly finished and including a number of new gimmicks, such as an inbuilt warning whistle and self-straightening brush, the Twigger has been found to warp under high speeds and has gained the unlucky reputation of being flown by wizards with more galleons than sense. Chapter 10. Quidditch Today. The game of Quidditch continues to thrill and obsess its many fans around the world. Nowadays, every purchaser of a Quidditch match ticket is guaranteed to witness a sophisticated contest between highly skilled flyers. Unless, of course, the snitch is caught in the first 5 minutes of the match, in which case we all feel slightly shortchanged. Nothing demonstrates this more than the difficult moves that have been invented over its long history by witches and wizards eager to push themselves and the game as far as they can go. Some of these are listed below. Bludger backbeat. A move by which the beater strikes the bludger with a backhanded club swing, sending it behind him or her rather than in front. Difficult to bring off with precision, but excellent for confusing opponents. Doppelbeater defense. Both beaters hit a bludger at the same time for extra power, resulting in a bludger attack of greater severity. Double eight loop. A keeper defense, usually employed against penalty takers, whereby the keeper swerves around all three goal hoops at high speed to block the quaffle. Hawkshead attacking formation. Chasers form an arrowhead pattern and fly together towards the goalposts, highly intimidating to opposing teams and effective in forcing other players aside. Parkins pincer. So named for the original members of the Wigtown Wanderers, who are reputed to have invented this move. Two chasers close in on an opposing chaser on either side, while the third flies headlong towards him or her. Plumpton pass. Seeker move. A seemingly careless swerve that scoops the snitch up one sleeve. Named after Roderick Plumpton, Tutsil Tornado Seeker, who employed the move in his famous record-breaking snitch catch of 1921. Although some critics have alleged that this was an accident, Plumpton maintained until his death that he had meant to do it. Porskoff ploy. The chaser carrying the quaffle flies upwards, leading opposing chasers to believe he or she is trying to escape them to score, but then throws the quaffle downwards to a fellow chaser waiting to catch it. Pinpoint timing is of the essence. Named after the Russian chaser Petrova Porskov. Reverse pass. A chaser throws the quaffle over one shoulder to a team member. Accuracy is difficult. Sloth grip roll. Hanging upside down off the broom, gripping tightly with hands and feet to avoid a bludger. Starfish and stick. Keeper defense. The keeper holds the broom horizontally with one hand and one foot curled around the handle, while keeping all limbs outstretched. See figure G. The starfish without stick should never be attempted. Transylvanian tackle. First seen at the World Cup of 1473, this is a fake punch aimed at the nose. As long as contact is not made, the move is not illegal, though it is difficult to pull off when both parties are on speeding broomsticks. Wollongong shimmy. Perfected by the Australian Wollongong Warriors, this is a high-speed zigzagging movement intended to throw off opposing chasers. Ronsky feint. The seeker hurtles towards the ground, pretending to have seen the snitch far below, but pulls out of the dive just before hitting the pitch, intended to make the opposing seeker copy him and crash. Named after the Polish seeker, Josef Ronsky. There can be no doubt that Quidditch has changed beyond all recognition since Gertie Kettle first watched those numbskulls on Quidditch Marsh. Perhaps, had she lived today, she too would have thrilled to the poetry and power of Quidditch. Long may the game continue to evolve, and long may future generations of witches and wizards enjoy this most glorious of sports.